Good morning and welcome to this edition of Brass Tax Sunday with your host, Corey Lane. We go until 1:15 this afternoon. And as usual, Brass Tax Sunday is brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated, where we zoom in on a topic literally and figuratively as we go over to Zoom and speak to our panel these days because of COVID-19. Now, if you've listened to the promo, you would know the topic today is crime fighting, a community perspective. Now, we are hoped to be joined by the Royal Barbados Police Force on November 15th, and we will try. They've committed to coming here. They say they'll have Remembrance Day out of the way, and they've committed to, you know, facing the public and interacting. So we become a partnership in this fight against crime. At the station level, we also will do our best to get the Attorney General on that call so we can have a serious conversation about the serious crime that is facing this country in this season. So today we're looking at it from a community perspective. I would like this to be the precursor of a very good program so we can put all of your ideas, because everybody will not be able to get in on the 15th. So today is like a part one. And we want to get your perspective of what's happening in your community and some of the suggestions you have for fighting crime. Now, my job is really to make sure that we stay on course and that the discussion is done in such a way that we can take something from it. So I want to roll the wicket this morning in terms of what it is that we are really looking at. A lot of the times when we look at topics, topics can be so broad, and sometimes we get lost in the melee. So today, I want to look at crime fighting. A lot of time we spend on crime prevention, which is, in my opinion, more important in the long term. But the fact of the matter is, with the best crime prevention strategies being deployed from tomorrow, it will not undo the fact that we have criminally minded people in our society today. So we have to have a strategy for fighting such. And that is what I want to look at. So I throw out some ideas. And some of those ideas is, do we need more neighborhood watches in the communities that won't traditionally have these watches? What about the see something, say something versus the snitches get stitches? What about Crime Stoppers? What about that reward? What about those people in neighborhoods that know where the guns are behind the paling, behind the bush, the hibiscus hedge, but you say nothing because it's your community until a bullet, piece of lead from that gun hits a family member? What do we do? Do we need more patrols? Do we need to stop and search? Do we need to use that controversial legislation passed under the last administration to cordon off areas for 48 hours and do the searches? I want to hear from you, the community members, the community perspective on fighting crime. And I'm going to try to keep it down that line. Before we do, and I don't usually do this, but I want to put some comments on the table for fodder for discussion this morning. Number one, I reached out to a number of communities as advised by the crime statistics. And I am hoped to have contributions from the Ivy, Cave Hill. We're going to have Deacons Ferniehurst coming through the WhatsApp. We're going to have, hoping to have Black Rock in the house, the greater part of Black Rock in the house. Silver Hill should be joining us just after 12. And a number of other communities lined up. But of course, the lines are open to you at 434-1790 from any community, anywhere at all. Now, some people have reached out to have actually told me they're coming and then last minute as usual. Oh, I don't want to be victimized and so on. But yet these people call us moderators during the week so we can speak, so we can be victimized. Listen, I done enabling some of you. I would like that when people have a contribution to make, instead of cursing the regular callers, pick up the phone and battle with them to have your perspective call. So instead of calling 832-CORY, I want you to call 434-1790. And share your perspectives there. Now, lastly, before we credit the sponsors and come over to the panel, is this. I've had an experience up to yesterday and something that the criminologists have passed in terms of what they believe can help to fight crime, each and every one of us. And I want to share this short story. I've shared it before, but reiteration is a tool of learning and education. I remember while working with counseling and so on in prison, a lot of you guys used to say that the community looked down on us. The community looked down on us. One of the reasons that we feel the way we feel is because the community looks down on us. And I couldn't understand, I'll be honest with you, at first. I remember we had a lot of shootings around the same crop over shooting time, and the nation had a program where they went around to the various communities. I was part of that. And I was hearing the same thing. People drive past us and look down on us, and it was like, whoa. Then we took some ex-inmates, and they came and they explained what it meant. Yeah, so they had an incident like that with one of my groups trying to pass through Raleigh. And they had some people just took one look at them, although they approached with the salutation, good morning, and, you know, went decent. People looked at them and looked down upon them. And the rest is a different story. So one of the things we can do within our communities is kind of self-examine how we look and treat to people and the response that we get because of it. This is Brass Tacks Sunday. We're going to be joined by a number of the panelists. But before we do so, this program is brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
Williams Metals, choose us for your building needs at Williams Metals. We got what you need. We are the leaders in building materials. We offer lumber, cement, concrete, copper, aluminum, and all type of metals. For construction, get galvanized sheets. Welding, for sure, you can find that and so much more. Friendly staff to help with your search at King Gardens, St. Thomas, and Lola's Christchurch. Williams Metals, we got what you need.
Okay, let's jump right in. Crime fighting, a community perspective. I want to go over to the panel and identify Craig. I see two other names I'm not familiar. Let you guys introduce yourself, because from your Zoom name, I cannot tell who you are. But I've thrown up some ideas for fighting crime in the community. I want to hear what are your thoughts on them, and if you have any other ideas to start us off. So we talk about neighborhood watches, crime fighting through things like Crime Stoppers, you know, the works. So let's hear from you, Craig Mears, first, coming to us from over in Cave Hill. Good morning and welcome, Craig.
Hey, good morning. I would like to say, first of all, that I agree with the aspects that you brought, Mr. Lane, but I just want to keep it short, and I want to say that the first question is, we want to have the crime watches, we want to have the patrols and stuff, but we have to ask the question if we have the adequate amount of people in force to do these things, as we know that they are very burdensome if you work more of these people who are committing the crimes, in terms of trying to help to keep the society safer.
So the resources, because, you know, the police force have said for a long time that their numbers coming up a little short, and so that's a good thing you've actually raised there.
As you mentioned, that my question will also be, why is it that we always see a number of people passing out and the force is getting a number or the requisite number, but then 2 months later, 3 months later, we are still in that they are still short. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what is this, or what was this, was the position of the screening program, or do we really meet the criteria?
So at least we have our first question for November 15th, once the Royal Barbados Police Force lives up to their word and come in on the program in terms of the numbers and what can be done to buttress the force to make it an effective crime fighting unit. So that's a good place to start. The patrols, do we have the resources to actually keep the patrols going? Because, you know, one of the things we do in Barbados is that we start something, you know, we have our zero tolerance and so on, until 9 days later when everything goes back to norm. So let's bring in one of the other guests and somebody else that could on mute, and we can hear from them. I don't know if we have Adrian Bubbler on the line. I had invited him. He's coming to us from over in Eden Lodge. Adrian, are you on with us? All right, not sure if we have Adrian on. That sounds more like Dr. Fauci to me. Well, he's not invited this morning. All right, so one of the other guests, could you unmute and give us your perspective on the things that we've raised so far? I'm going to look to see if we can dissect them before we open up the lines and hear from more persons in the community. All right, while we get that started, let's go over to the lines and say good morning and welcome. Let's see who we have there and what contribution they want to make. Good morning and welcome, Brass. That's Sunday. You're on the air.
Good morning, Corey. Long time no hear.
Long time no hear. Long time no see. Talk to me.
All right. One. What should I say? It's something that I noticed about the police, right? Not all of them. When they're making a report, sometimes when they're reporting someone, the road is congested and there's room where they can put the person off the road. I keep traffic flowing. I had an experience yesterday where an officer was reporting a minibus. The police vehicle was right next to the minibus on a two-lane road. The bus I was in was already there, and I was delayed by a further 10 minutes, and there was room that the officer could have pulled the offender and do what he had to do. Also, sometimes you're in one-on-one police officer, one doing the right thing, and the other says this, stand up rather than direct traffic. People don't have to move at their own risk. As far as the crime is concerned and the police have been doing a fantastic job with the limited human resources. They've been doing a good job. It is the system and the people who make the system that have been failing the people.
Before you go any further, let me challenge something based on a conversation I had yesterday, and it was reiterated to me, something I've heard out of prison as well, that a lot of the vigilante crime and retaliations we have is because we don't have a system that responds. Even from the community level, there are small instances between neighbors, like garbage put in front of gate and cars blocking driveways. And they call, again, this may go back to Craig's point, where they don't have enough vehicles to send out to each of these things. But people feel as though the system don't respond, so they have to take matters into their own hands. Would you say from your observation that that is a challenge of the Royal Barbados Police Force?
As I said before, and I've said again, they're very short on manpower and they've been doing a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. When I say system, I'm talking about our justice system. We feeling sorry for criminals. We having compassion on criminals. I know of at least 3 cases in this Barbados where men who have murdered, take a life, was condemned to hang, spent a few years in jail, got a reprieve, and came back out and kill again. Mm-hmm. You know, and let me tell St. Corey, they don't talk because they can talk. You see people who have lost loved ones through murder, you don't ever get over it here. Mm-hmm. You don't ever get over it. You don't. I don't sympathize with no criminals. None. We have, as the criminals are getting tough, people just know how to get tougher. Another thing, fear. Nobody ain't together no more, for whatever reason. And then people living in fear that if they stay or do something, people will come after them. There's a whole set of problems that's plaguing this country, and that have to be dealt with. If they're not dead, it is going to get worse.
I want to link those two last points in terms of getting serious and people feeling the need not to speak because of retaliation. You must have equally and at the same time a system which treats those things in a very serious manner so that people feel as though they can come out and they can say something. The other thing is really to make sure that people can say something with confidentiality so that they don't fear reprisals. How do we do that, in your opinion?
I want to leave you with this. Right? I want to leave you with this. You know, everybody always talks about the problem. But I don't know, but you never talk about what causes the problem. And to solve a problem, you have to
I disagree, Mr. P. We talk about what caused the problem here all the time. We go back to slavery. We talk about education. We talk about parents. Now, to say that we don't talk about what caused the problem is so erroneous, isn't funny. We spent years doing that. We had the criminologists here, the sociologists, the psychologists, everybody here and their grandmother. And we talked about what was the cause.
You haven't found out the causes. Why isn't there anything done about it then?
Mm-hmm. Why? Because we are poor at implementation. We're poor at action. We're good at talk. That's the reason.
Right? And people are going to act. People in authority, law forbid, are going to act when they are going through the same experiences that others have gone through. And not wishing bad for anybody. Sometimes it takes a disaster to bring people to the senses.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And I want to thank you and move on at this time. I want to go over to Kumar Denny. He's coming in from over in the Ivy. But before we do so, just picking up some comments here. It says, those petty domestic disputes are not the ones leading to gun violence. The gun criminals are not interested in legal justice in the first place. They take their own. Now, we had a caller that would have called in here, I think, about two Fridays ago and spoke about how some neighbors got into it. And one was eventually shot and both were taken to prison because one that shot the other one actually was on a wanted list. Again, yesterday, someone was highlighting to me how someone bashed up their car because they put the garbage in front of the gate, the other person gate, and it turned in not to gun violence, but stabbing violence. So we're not only talking about gun violence, but those disputes actually in some communities lead to some serious violence at the end of the day. But Kumar Denny, you've been listening to what it is we are talking about. How feasible, sensible is some of this? And in your opinion, what needs to happen to fight crime in Barbados?
Yeah. Morning, Lian.
Good morning.
Let me go back to the point Craig made about the forest short of staff. Right? The force has always said, oh, it's short of staff, we need more officers. But Royal Barbados Police Force don't encourage the average young man or young lady today to join the force. Nobody wants to be known for kicking down doors. When you come on a crime scene, you pushing away people, abusing them, cursing. So it's obviously gonna be short of staff because the young man growing up now, he won't be known for he coming and kicking down his neighbor door, he stopping at that our van, and he dreading that a man will lock. So you're not convincing nobody to join the force. And another thing, police officers don't know how to deal with the average man, right? I remember a time I was in a Zara van and it was stopped by police. Was something last year, a female officer was present. I will say again, a female officer was present. When the van stopped now, all the women got out and they walked past. None of them got searched. I asked the officer, one of the male officers, how could you be conducting a search and you letting the females go only searching the males and a female officer is present? You know what he can tell me? Oh, man, is it all young men that have the guns? Stop and look at him here. This ain't making a sense to me. You know what I'm saying? And then now, I answer, well, no problem. Can I have your name and badge number? She have an attitude. Oh, if you don't like something that happened, you can take it to the commissioner. So, I mean, that's things that you gotta look at. Reforming the whole structure in the police force. You got to get a program to teach them how to communicate with the average poor man. You know what I'm saying? And that's saying that the police ain't got patience, communication skills. It might sound harsh, but that's the truth.
I think you've touched on two things that I've heard raised before. I want to get Craig's response to that because I know that a lot of in the clubs and so on, one of the things I know people have been talking about is if you want to smuggle in a weapon on a cruise in a club or whatever, you give it to the female to take in because the males are who getting searched. So that is the way out of that. And then the whole idea of how the police force treats the certain communities versus other communities. So I think that that is also something that is well discussed. I want to get Craig's take on that before I've noted that down, the image of the force in relation to the numbers of officers, something I would definitely put to the police force.
I would just say that it is a cycle of patterns, just training patterns, because we know that the thieves come from such and such places, the robbers, the murderers, we got the persons dealing with the drugs, and these places are only pinpointed. You will hear them in the so-called promotion CDs, you know, when they got the big bashes and they're calling out this body name, this place, if you want that. You know, the local Belgian artists right now, they're doing well, you know, they're with the guys from Trinidad and Jamaica, and they're singing certain things. But the older folks, I think this is why the older folks always look down on the younger ones too, because sometimes they don't always understand where we are coming from. And when they do think they know, they just brand and label. In terms of the way how police deal with people, I think sometimes it's the way of just their upbringing. And it all comes with stigma too also. Because if I know that a man is a type of way, I am not going to him, hello, good morning, sir, how may I help you? I have to go to him with some kind of authority in order to see that. I have to go to him in a way where I think that I could get over him and get what I want done. In a short and timely manner, because we know, as people say, Belgians are malicious. So, you know, from the time things start to get loud, you can see everybody coming out the jungle and the bushes, and you don't know where all them come from.
Now, I can leave those comments to other persons to respond to very interesting comments, and I'm sure they will draw some responses. Let me go back over to the line while I get the WhatsApp boot up. I got the tablet here at 0%, so we're going to boot that up and then get some WhatsApps coming in. But in the meantime and in between time, let's go over to the lines. Good morning and welcome.
Hello.
Hi, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. What we would have to do as a police officer who once told me, the police is human too. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to first train and get the police to do a professional job and not take sides. Because some of the problems that we are having, the police of themselves is causing the... You go to the police. When you go to the police and still they would do something, they do nothing. You have one problem, you go. You have a second problem, you go. So you ain't gonna keep going to the police and the police is doing nothing. You complain for the police, and the police, you never ever hear anything about the complaint. So there is where people not, we don't have anybody to go to. So that is why people taking things into their own hands.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting.
You know, we need to deal with the police. A police officer said these words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so until we deal with the police, get camera panda, because the first thing you go to somebody, we are here, they believe the police, despite you got the evidence, but they believe you, despite you got the evidence. So how are you going to feel to see you have the evidence, you have the truth, and you are being pushed around, and not only pushed around, you know, and nothing is being done? The next time it happens, hold the gutter. The next step is to take things into your own hands.
You know, my fear for crime fighting from a community perspective thus far this morning, what I've heard is almost like a them and us, a kind of arrangement where we need to be in it together, work together. The law-abiding citizen versus the criminal almost, but it seems like we got the law-abiding citizen also versus the police. And I don't think that will result in a crime-free community. And what I'm hearing, and I've noted down, I don't want us to chase away the police from coming to face this, but I think we can put this to them in a professional manner, where we're looking at the whole idea, the image of the force, how they deal with persons, training, and doing a professional job at all times, is what I have noted down thus far. Okay, thank you, ma'am.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, sorry.
Since 2017, a police officer, he out the force now, and he has supposed to write information back to the Attorney General. You understand? And up west to know it hasn't been done. Since 2017. Mm-hmm. And you are waiting, you are calling, you are, so we'll get to you since 2017. What do you all expect?
So from coming from within your community and what you've observed, have you seen any crime in your community?
Well, I haven't seen such a crime, but I have seen a lot of foolishness going on that could cause a crime if nothing is being done.
Right. Besides the police acting in a more professional manner, what would you recommend from your own experience can help kind of prevent or fight crime within your community?
Deal with the police.
It's just the police.
Police need to be more professional.
All right.
Until we get the police doing a job like how the old-time police would have done, and start putting friendship and friends and whatever else go with it, we cannot get nowhere.
They tell me that the old-time police was big, black, and rough. That's what a lot of people told me. So I don't know if it's old-time policing.
But we still didn't have this crime, and still, you go to the police, and if you go to the police, you're here, but she is family to you. They can still talk to you and tell you, look, don't do so and so.
No, I can't argue your point, because I've seen, in preparation for this and other programs, I've seen these statistics that show that police community departments, as opposed to forces, actually work a lot better in communities in terms of preventing crime. But anyhow, thank you very much. Your main thing is get the police to be more professional. And I want to take some of the comments and put to you guys that what people are coming in and hear from you, the panelists and the callers, or what are coming in through the blogs and the chats and the WhatsApp and so on. It says, the police force is short of staff because the majority of you young men take dope. And when you try to join the force, you are tested and you're full of dope. That comes from one contributor. This one says, caller, politeness don't mean softness. People will tell you how polite the British police are when they're booking you, but they book you anyway. This one says, well, there is definitely an anti-police segment prevailing in this society. The way how I see people reacting to the police carrying out their duties tells me a whole lot. And there was another interesting one here, right? Caller, it is one attitude. So people are saying actually it's the attitude of the people. Again, put this one to Kumar. Kumar, to counter your point, people are saying it's really how the police approach people as opposed to how people approach the police as opposed to how the police approach people. One of the other things I would like to throw in there before you answer, Kumar, is recently you've seen these videos where the police go to carry out their duties in the ZR stand or wherever, and the people are cursing at the police, pulling at the police, pulling at the police trying to carry away and all type of thing. There was an ex-police said that he called him and he did. It wouldn't have happened. He would arrest about 10 of them one time. He said the police too soft. So let me hear you on that, Mr. Kumar, before we go back to the lines.
But listen, you see, that's just to show that how times has changed, because I believe for the time you have on those clothes, you're part of the crown. People should show you respect. So for the time you come to carry out an operation or raid, whatever, and people hollering at you, cursing at you, they want to go with you, that means just to show that you need training yourself, because you have on the clothes of the crown. You are the law. From the time people see you come, they just scatter, they just humble themselves. So that means they don't have any respect for you. You, I don't know. So if you're trying to tell me now, the police burn out, the police producing comedians, because I don't understand. But not saying they are right for doing it. All I'm saying is that when you land on the scene, people got to show you that respect, because you're the body in charge, no? But
so one of the main things we got to take from this is, how do we get back communities respecting the police? One of the dangerous things that I've observed in recent times is that when you have simple incident at schools, for instance, you have policemen being called in and dealing with some of the at-risk youth from a young age. And I think this desensitizes them to the police. So they don't fear nor respect the police by the time they finish school. So it's something that I have observed and something that we are living through right now. But a lot of the comments coming at me, obviously from the older folk, is telling me, listen, these young people ain't got no training. They ain't got no respect. They're coming at the police with attitude. And this is how the police have to respond. That is their response to you. That is just how the police have to respond according to these people come in.
Listen, there's a very few times you just have to fight the devil with the demon. So just because somebody doing A don't mean you got to do A too, do B. You know what I'm saying? So then again, and say, the young people ain't know how to talk with the police. I could agree with that because a lot of them nowadays, they're uneducated. School system fail them, parents, people on the block, people in the community, you understand? Who went to jail and come out, even the system up in the Her Majesty's prison failed them. The programs, whatever the went in, failed them. But all I'm saying, you gotta start with the head of the problem first. I mean, a lot of people was crying on the AG. The AG did stuff that, you know, got more judges, cases that been backed up, bring forward, XYZ, the 2-year guy, amnesty, but you gotta put that in place now that a law that can make a criminal think twice before he commit a crime. And the detectives and policemen got to get the record straight. You find a lot of people going to court and kids get choked because lack of evidence. Seriously? I know you're innocent until proven guilty. But, look, I can come down hard on the police because I believe they could do a lot better. Another thing, don't let me get carried away. Most people know that are in CID are young people. And you know where the gun line is? They may come in the neighborhood and pass through and sit down by Ball's bar, or the goalkeeper bar. You know where they want to go? Jamestown, First Street and Second Street. They want to go St. Lawrence Gap, Lime Grove. They mingle go on Marshall Street and try to mingle. Not saying I want the police come and mingle and sit down on the block and move like them and the people with their friends. But you got these young people that know candy force, you put them in CID. They can't communicate with the average young person because they're going and lining all these bigger places. They make an in Nelson Street and pass through. And say, Mom, how you doing? The body car and blocking the driveway, XYZ.
So from observing, from your, because they're trying to draw from your experience, particularly from your communities. Your community is that Millars Hill, Ivy area. Do you think, from your observation, living in that area, working in that area, that the police coming through and forming some kind of community bond would actually work in this day and age?
Yes, I believe so.
Yes, that's the answer. No, I agree. That's what I'm saying. I didn't. It wasn't a trick question. I actually wanted to get your honest opinion on it. So let's pull some more comments and go back to the lines. I just want y'all to see how some of the people are thinking about. People have no respect for themselves. We expect them to respect anyone else. Respect going through the window. View the police coming from the same disrespectful society. So that's one. One of the balanced ones I like here was that you have problems on both ends because there are police that abuse their authority. This one said, school system fail what? It is the lack of training they got from the time they were in their mother's womb. Let's go to the lines. Brastock Sunday, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Corey and guests. Have you got a guest there?
Yes, we've got a couple of panelists here on the line.
Mr. Lane, I had a situation that I called a particular police station to ask for an opinion. All along, the police agreed with me till he asked me, where is this situation and who, where? And when they told you know what happened, You might put my phone in my ear. I told myself I would never call that police station about nothing again as long as I live. If that's the way that the police is going to treat you, because they know the individuals. Most of the problem in this country come from police knowing people, knowing the criminals.
But that shouldn't work as an advantage. And, and before you answer, let me do a hypocrite here on the radio. About in 2010, I had similar situations where building out project in Trent, so I had some lumber was stolen, sheep was stolen, a bike was stolen, and I going, and I feel like, look, this is a waste of time. The next thing that was stolen, I can't remember, it just ain't went anywhere. So look, this wasting my time. The other thing is, I had some animals that were stolen. And when we went to the place, the mother came out of the guy who had stolen it, and the police like, wait. And she said, wait, you know, I ain't seen me fat last night. And I like, I said, oh my goodness, with justice and then going through the door. I felt so helpless at that time. I had to go to the commissioner of police at the time, who would have appointed an inspector at the time, and that's how I got the matter resolved. So don't let me sit down here and pretend I don't know what's going on, and I do try to bring balance and all that. What you're saying is true. But what I'm asking you is from in that situation, knowing the criminal, are the police in a better position to say, listen, go to the person and try to resolve the matter?
Yes, yeah, I feel so. Somehow, listen, you wrong. The police don't tell the friends that they're wrong. I spoke, you know that, I know a lot of people, Corey.
I know he's been up in everything.
A senior superintendent about the same problem. And he was to do something about it, he ain't do nothing about it. You just call the police and report things that they don't come because the people is their friends.
I can put that one to them when they come. Well, we're going to have an interesting program if they come, I'm telling you. Again, we're not here to ambush them. We just want them to answer these concerns, and I want to hear both sides of it. Thank you very much. 12 minutes before noon, this is Brass Tax Sunday, brought to you the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
You depend on BRC for genuine permaclad, colorclad, and permaseam steel roofing products. But did you know you can depend on BRC for installation too? That's right. BRC has several experienced roofing teams to handle your roof installation professionally, using tested and proven fasteners and methods with satisfaction guaranteed. When it comes to roofing, there's no substitute for experience, and BRC's crews will give you a great job at a great price. Have your roof installed by the experts. BRC.